Welcome to Bethlehem on this lovely sunny Sunday morning. Lovely out there, I think. So welcome to any visitors who are joining us today. And a special welcome to Katie, who we all know, of course, but she will be bringing us God's word. I expect a number of our congregation could be away, but anyway, I hope everybody's enjoying their summer break. As you can see up there, we will be having open mic during the service this morning. We haven't had it for a long time, so we look forward to hearing how God has helped many of us to cope with what life brings. Tea and coffee will be served in the schoolroom after the service, and you're very invited to join us. If you'd like someone to pray with you after the service, you can come forward or stay in your seat and someone will come and pray with you. Next Sunday, there'll be a fellowship service here. I think Ali's leading it, but I believe it's the street pastors joining us. Yes. Is that right? Yeah, good. That was, if I read the notices right. Okay, fine. Lovely. I'm sure that'll be great. So I've said that. Good. I said last Sunday, of course, a number of us were at Bethesda when Wilma was preaching. And I can see Wilma here. That's lovely. It was a lovely service, Wilma. Thank you. I think they were very pleased to have us, as many of their congregation were away. It was very nice. I don't know how many of you watched the commemorations of the 80th anniversary of VJ Day on Friday, but it was very moving. The setting was the National Memorial Arboretum at Alrobus in Staffordshire. We've got friends who live in Alrobus, strangely enough, so I've visited a few times, and you can't fail to be moved. There are so many special areas for special regiments or all sorts, civil and military. It really is an amazing place. And this was a chance to pay tribute to the brave men fighting in the Far East who called themselves the Forgotten Army, and the civilians who were imprisoned after the fall of Singapore. The war finally ended when Japan surrendered to the Allies on July the 15th, 1945. Anyway, thank you to Heather and Diane and Jean who came to the music practice, and Sheila's with us today. It was great that Katie was also able to join us. So between us, we chose the hymns, which I'm sure you will enjoy singing. We enjoyed practicing. So thank you to everyone involved in today's service. Katie for her planning, our musicians and singers, Ali on computer, Barbara, our steward, Anley, our Bible reader, and Graham on welcome. Are we birthdays? I think we have a birthday. We do. I know we do. And it's Steve's birthday back there, so we shall be singing. Happy birthday, Steve. Is it today or tomorrow? Or
next week
sometime. Okay. And we're also, Heather's told me that her husband Derek's birthday tomorrow. So he's joining in. So let's sing happy birthday. Start our service with a call to worship. God of all ages, with those who have gone before us and those with whom we share today, we worship you. We bring our hearts to be strengthened, our minds to be cleansed, our hands to be empowered, our spirits to be refreshed, and our lives to be touched by your grace and love. Amen. And now we're going to start with two songs, and they're good fun, these two. You'll enjoy them. First is Shout for Joy. Let us pray, a prayer of adoration. Steadfast God, we praise you for the precious gift of faith, which gives substance to our hopes, draws us on towards your kingdom, and unites us. as we, that's not read very well, drawn us on towards your kingdom and unites us as we journey together through all the ups and downs of life. In you we trust, faithful Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A prayer of confession. We are sorry, gracious God, for the fragility of our faith, which wavers when things get tough, wobbles when confidence gets low, gives up when the road gets steep, and loses sight of how far you have brought us and forgets that you are there by our side. Please forgive us, bolster us, empower us, and use us to build up the faith of others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And an assurance of forgiveness. Eternal God, your faith in us doesn't waver. Your love for us doesn't wane. Your trust never flickers. Your grace never fails. And so, with thankful hearts, we receive your forgiveness and go forward in faith, in strength, and with your blessing. Amen. And a prayer of praise. God of all ages, we praise you for all those who have gone before us and shown us the way of faith. We praise you for all the ways you have honored their faith. In faith, we trust you for now, for tomorrow, and for all that is to come. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we're going to sing again, and this is a lovely hymn, Blessed Assurance.
Heavenly Father, as we come to worship you this morning, we come not just with our being, but with our giving. And Father, we pray that the monies received here from bank transfers, from all manners, but also with our deeds, we would serve you for the betterment of your kingdom, so that all may come to know you and have this time of rejoicing. For we ask it in the name of your Son. Amen. Thank you. And for me, it's got to be about 35, 36 years ago, I would say. I was extended an invitation from a headmistress of a school to teach RE. Lovely, I said, yes, I'll do that. Now, thinking, wow, this is a way of getting God's message out. Yes, I'll do that. But as the time got closer, I thought, actually, this is a little bit daunting. I feel a little bit out of my depth. See, I had been teaching in Sunday school, but that was slightly different. Those children were coming to you knowing they were in church or part of church. This was in a school classroom, where you might have had some Christian belief, but not necessarily all, although it was a Christian school. So I did feel a little bit out of my depth. I felt as though I was stepping into the great unknown, and I didn't quite know where to start. So after a lot of prayer, I decided to start at the very beginning. Thank you, Ellie. I decided to look, what is faith? What is faith is something that those of you who were blessed enough to be at Bethesda last week, you will have heard that we were asked. Wilma said, what is faith? I seem to remember at the time we were quite quiet. And I think in the classroom, if I'd have said the same thing, what is faith, and expected an answer, I probably wouldn't have got it. So this is how I started. Thank you, Ellie. I gave them this, although it wasn't on a PowerPoint, it was on a blackboard. That's not meant to quite look like that, Ellie.
It doesn't look like that here.
That's interesting. Now, that makes it even more difficult. But if I said to you, that's very interesting. Now, I'm not sure you're going to get it from there. But if you'd have seen it in the two lines in which it was, it would have been a sentence without the vowels in. And so they had to put the vowels into this sentence. And I don't think it's rocket science for you guys to know that what they were... Thank you, Ellie. If we go to the next one with a bit of luck, it might show up okay. Right, so this is it with the vowels in. So if you imagine the gaps, So, of course, it took them quite a little while to work out, and they kept coming up with words and getting there and gradually getting closer to it. And we gradually got to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. It may not be entirely in the form we remember it, because this was from the Good News Bible, which all the children had to have. And I think, to be fair, if I was to bump into any of that particular class and say to them, to this day, to have faith, they would know it like that, because they'd worked hard at this to get it. I think if we put it on the next one, we haven't got to face all the yellow writing. Well, as the term progressed, we looked at lots of illustrations from the Bible of faith. And each week, out of the very short reading we would have, I would do the same thing. I would pick a particular text and put it up there without the vowels, and boy, did they get good at it. But also, they did remember it. And the term progressed, and what I found was, well, it was great. From the very first time I'd walked in, it was a year six classroom at that time. Later on, I was working, I had year five and one and two, but at that time it was year six. What I found was, well, it was just great. You know, the children were loving it. In fact, there was a time where at the end of term, they'd have to do a silent vote on what was their favorite lesson. And in year six, it came up as RE. And I remember the headmistress saying, I don't think I'll ever be saying this again. But she did the year after. And I think what amazed me mostly, not only were the children loving it, but mostly I was too. And I didn't realize it at the time, but later on in life, I recognized that God had been blessing me amazingly with a foundation on which to build. Because when I had the call to preach, I just felt that little bit more sure. I kept thinking, well, hang on, I stepped into that classroom, terrified. I'll step up behind a pulpit, terrified. Perhaps a little bit better now, but I was terrified. Never been overly confident, but this is what the grounding gave me to also feel that it was okay to be a bit creative and think outside of the box. And then, of course, when Messy Church came along, then Messy Vintage came along, and now Messy Bears, although I haven't anything to physically do with it. Obviously, I'm very much part of it still. But when all these ways of thinking slightly differently, it became quite natural to me to do so, because God had given me this foundation. He had said, to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. You know, that was my lesson learnt. I thought I was teaching the children, and in actual fact, it was for myself as well. We are going to sing a song in that there's a line in it that I think just totally takes me into that place. It says, he took me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith was made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And when I think back to that time in the classroom when I first started doing the RE, I think Heather might have been teaching there at the time, actually. And I look at that line and I think, yep, I wouldn't have been able to step out on my own. But with God's help, we can. Let's sing. And it is actually, I don't know if we're going to have all the words in the right order or anything else today. I mean, it seems to be doing its own thing. But let's sing Oceans, which will be on a YouTube clip. Thank you, Wilma, for getting the flags out. I believe that you were on the Sea of Galilee in Israel, and somebody was recording that. That is actually Hillsong, but it must have been powerful and moving. Beautiful, beautiful words. Getting back to school, as our term went on and our faith topic grew, and I could see how powerful it was, more so than I thought it was going to be, we started having ideas for what we would do in the next term. And I can remember one little hand going, well, a number of hands went up, but one particular hand went up and she said, why don't we do how we can put this in action? How can we put faith in action? Wow. From a child, how do we put faith in action? Well, we're going to hear how the writer of Hebrews tells us to put it in action. And Anneli is going to come and read to us from Hebrews.
This service is all about faith. We're reading from Hebrews, yeah, chapter 11, verse 29 to 40, and chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So, 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the furies of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle, and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released, so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. May God grant us understanding of his inspired word and help us to live each day by faith in him. Amen.
Stay there, is it? And so, as Anley read to us there, we see faith being put into action. Once again, if you were at Bethesda last week, Wilma asked us to consider, how is your faith? How is your journey going? And she also asked us to think about the children that say, are we nearly there yet? And is this something we ask ourselves about our faith? Are we nearly there yet? Or do we think we've arrived? You know, today's reading causes us to think, isn't it? How is our faith when we hear those stories? And when I say our, I'm actually talking individually today, not as a church. How is your faith? How is my faith? Do we, like some people that the writer of Hebrews talks of, have a faith that moves mountains? Or do we focus on the obstacle and not on the power of God? Today we picked up from verse 28, but if we look back through that chapter from verse 1, we will find two words starting nearly every little sentence. By faith. It is just a repetition that goes through the whole chapter. By faith. And the author goes on to share with us some heroes of our pre-Christian era, giving examples of people who, despite facing incredible situations, they fix their eyes upon God. And they put their trust in him alone, just like we've heard Anne saying today, I put my trust in God alone. And when we started the story, and don't worry, I'm not going through every name there, but when we started the story, we began with the Israelites in an impossible situation because they were trapped, completely trapped, between a fearsome Egyptian army and the Red Sea. Can you imagine? They had come out, they were starting to cross to the land of Canaan, and there they are, trapped. We began by facing certain capture, if not death. And had they been returned back again to Egypt, they were back to square one as being slaves. And it would have been so if it had not been for one man's incredible faith. Moses. Moses had a faith that moved the mountain in front of him. It wasn't a mountain, it was the sea. It was either the Egyptian army on one side or the sea. Now, if we wanted to read the full account of that about Moses, we'd look to Exodus, and it says, he said to them, in this mountainous situation where they find themselves, do not be afraid, he told them. Do not be afraid. If I'd have been one of those people, I'd have been terrified. Do not be afraid. Was he being serious? Had he no idea what was about to happen? Can you imagine the talking between them, perhaps the shouting, the jeering, the, come on, Moses, you can see here, come on, what are we going to do? Can you just imagine it? But he says, no, don't be afraid. You know, Moses, are you serious? Can't you see what's about to happen? Well, actually, he could. Because it goes on to say, stand firm, he continued, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. To have faith is to be sure of what we hope for. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. You need only to be still. When times are hard, can be sometimes incredibly difficult, can't it? When things are mounting up around us, perhaps inside us, when time is just doesn't expand enough, so many times where we find it hard to be still. And I imagine for the Israelites, it would be just the same. Had they come this far on their journey to the promised land only to be captured again? How could they possibly be still and do nothing about it? And the answer is staring us in the face, in Hebrews, in the writer, with Moses' faith. By faith, it says. There is a saying that when God is all you've got, God is all you need. The reason that a full plane perhaps going down in a disaster, you will find everybody praying. I wonder if everybody prayed on the Titanic. I imagine they did. Because suddenly you know there's something greater than you. Well, we know how the story of the Red Sea parting and the Israelites only getting across. The victory was God's. But it was brought about by one man's faith. A faith that looked death in the face, but knew his God was bigger. And in the chapter, there's many more examples of faith that move mountains, and it would be lovely to look at them all. But I would urge you to look at that chapter again sometime this week. And if you have the time, do look deeper into it. Of course, all these stories that were mentioned of Rahab and Gideon, and they're all such stories of great faith. Of people who found themselves in situations that seemed impossible, even as individuals, or if they were looking out for the army. But their God was bigger. They had faith that moves mountains. But you will have noted too from the passage, and Wilma brought us this last week, that not all heroes of their faith experience immediate triumph over the circumstances. And it doesn't all work out the way one thinks it should from our earthly perspective. But we're looking this side of heaven. God is looking at his side of heaven. And we're told that in the chapter. He knows there's more to come. I would like to just step away from the lectionary reading, or any lectionary readings, to be honest, this morning, and fast forward to an act of faith that is found in the New Testament and that has always blown me away. I think it's just amazing. And it concerns the lady in this picture, which I think also came from Israel. Penniless. Having spent all her savings on doctors and anyone else she could find to relieve her of the agony she was in from her condition of bleeding for 12 years. Nothing had cured her. She'd also suffered daily insults. She'd been treated as an outcast. By law, she was unclean. And she comes into the story that we're about to actually see on a video. She comes into this story with just one thing. Faith. Let's take a look at this dramatic reading on the YouTube.
Who told you I was here?
A man.
Powerful stuff. I should have said tissues will be provided. Amazing faith. And it's all it takes, a thread of faith. You know, we all have mountains in our lives. I wonder, do we all have faith that moves mountains? That faith that knows that one thread of faith is enough for Jesus. You know, our mountain may be one of pain, it may be sickness, it may be exhaustion, it may be stress. It could be financial problems, relational problems. It could be fear. It could be just a whole mountain of things. It's inexhaustible. But what is bigger than our mountain is our God. You know, we are shown over and over again through stories, through testimonies, through biblical stories, what God has done in Old Testament times when people didn't have a direct access to him, but he to them. In the New Testament, where we find the story that we just heard, we find that his hand is over everything. And because he knows, too, our great need to draw close to him, what has God done? He's given us a way through. A way through to have a personal relationship with him, unlike that was afforded to the ancients. All those wonderful clouds of witnesses that are there waiting for us. And he sends us the most special gift of all, Jesus Christ, his son. The one who has walked the earth, the one who has seen mountains bigger than any, but knows that he's God, is bigger. The one who has suffered insults, abuse, threats, loneliness, torture, and even died for us. And why? Because he loves us unconditionally. And he wants us to know that he is our Father. And no matter who it is, no matter what they've done, no matter whether they feel absolutely desperately alone, perhaps sleeping on the street, perhaps being kicked out of home, they have a Father who loves them. and maybe some don't know that. And isn't that awful? That there's some that don't know, perhaps some that we walk past in the street that don't know Jesus. And you know, he asks us just to keep our eyes fixed on him. He is the author and protector of our faith, and he will guide us. He will move our mountains. And actually, there's nothing to stop that, or possibly just ourselves. Just that we can be honest with ourselves. And we can say, what mountain am I facing right now? Thank you, Ellie. What are your mountains? What are my mountains? Let's take just a short, very, very few moments and think of that mountain that you need to pass on to God. Holy Spirit, dwell in us, we pray. And give us a faith that moves mountains. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That race, that path that God has marked out for us. For each and one, every one of us. A path that leads us face to face with people we don't expect to see, as Glynis was telling us. A faith that can move the mountain of pain and puts us in the hands of surgeons. A faith that says, I can't do this. And he says, yes, you can. Because you're not doing it in your own strength if you give it to me. A faith that knows it is in Christ alone that we have hope. A faith that shines from our innermost being and proclaims you as Lord and Savior, Father. May we know that sort of faith. A faith that moves mountains. For we ask it in the name of your Son. Amen. I think we'd better sing, don't you? Let's sing In Christ Alone, and then we'll have some short prayers of intercession before our final hymn. Thank you, Glynis.
Our prayers for others, our prayers of intercession. I'm trying to cut out a little bit because we've had a long service. Before we join together, yes, these are our prayers for others, and at the end we will join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. After each section of prayers, I'll say, Lord, in your mercy, please respond with, hear our prayers. Jesus has promised us that if we ask, we shall receive. If we seek, we shall find. And if we knock, the door will be opened to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you in prayer, that we can put into words all the things that concern us and worry us. We know you hear us and that our prayers will be answered. We pray for our world. There is still warfare and hatred and cruelty. There is still war in Ukraine. We hope that Donald Trump's conversations with President Putin will lead to a just settlement for the Ukrainian people. We know from our Bibles that over the centuries, God has used unlikely people to bring about his plans for our world. We bring before you the situation in Israel and Gaza. We just want there to be peace in these countries. We want people to be safe. We want solutions to be found without the use of bombs or missiles or drones. Innocent people are being killed, and young men are dying as they fight for their country. If only all the money spent on armaments could be used for good things like education, healthcare, housing. Lord, we want truth and peace to prevail. Lord, in your mercy. We also pray for those caught up in natural or man-made disasters. We pray for people affected by very hot weather and the dangers of wildfires. We thank you for the bravery of firefighters, and we ask you to keep them safe. In Pakistan, there have been severe flooding from the monsoon rains. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy. Sorry, I'm too quick. We pray for our church family worldwide. We remember the plight of Christians in countries where it's dangerous to worship God openly. We need to build a world where all are welcome. We pray for persecuted Christians in all parts of the world. Give them courage to keep on serving you, and keep us steadfast in our faith. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our church family closer to home. We pray for our families and friends. We thank you for the security of being part of a family, for the opportunity to celebrate special family events and anniversaries. Bless our family members who are in England or even further afield. Bless all those who are away travelling. We entrust them to your special care. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all members of our congregation. We especially remember those who used to be part of our fellowship but are no longer able to worship with us due to frailty or ill health. We pray for God's healing touch to be upon them. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those undergoing medical treatment and for all who need healing. Give knowledge and skill to the doctors and nurses. Support them in the demanding jobs they undertake and let them know how much they are appreciated. We pray for those people waiting for treatment. Let them know that you are beside them. We thank you, Lord, for so many prayers answered, but we continue to pray for healing for all our church family and their families, as well as all known to us who are struggling with ill health. We pray that you will be with each one, giving healing and strength. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we lift to you those who have been bereaved. Comfort them and give them strength at this difficult time. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And now let us join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Today is, O Jesus, I have promised. My Saviour and my friend, let's share the grace together. Thank you, everyone, for your patience. It's been lovely. I know it's a long service, but hasn't it been lovely to hear your stories? Absolutely. They're wonderful to share the testimonies and stories. And now let's share the grace before we go.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever.
Amen. Shalom.